We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoGrinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's February 23rd. If you're hanging out on YouTube Live with us, it's Wednesday night on the 22nd. It's back. We're back. We're back for NBA. I know that the schedule was kind of wonky after the Super Bowl. I was traveling a bunch for Super Bowl and then Daytona 500. So back to a normal schedule. And I got my guy, Will Priester, Chief Justice 06. Chief, Super Bowl was fun. NBA All-Star break was nice. Daytona 500 was spot on. We're back with some hoops. We got 9 games tonight, my friend.
Yeah, man. I'm not sure how much I got to talk about the Super Bowl on air. I probably talked about it, but, man, just one player away from, huge returns in Nashville. And man, what a Super Bowl that was. At any rate, I am considering heading up there for March Madness. I know I kind of put that in with our little personal group there, and I may, in fact, end up there. I think I have the green light to go. I don't think Mrs. Chief is going to have a problem with it. I have looked at the flights. And so I'm pretty excited about that for March Madness, which parlays into basketball, which is what we'll be talking about today. So just glad to get back. I did actually enjoy my break. I was not in the prop shop as much. I was proud of myself. I popped in and out, but I didn't pitch a tent there and do everything. I just kind of popped in, popped out some. I did take a break, which was much needed.
I have not looked at anything fantasy related, Twitter, Discord, Slack, anything for the last 3 days. Daytona 500 week was very exhausting right after the Super Bowl. So yeah, I took the last 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and most of today. Obviously I started looking at this NBA slate a couple hours ago, but it was nice. It was much needed. Feel a little bit refreshed. Daytona 500 week, man, it's a drain. It is so much going on every single day. I'm pumped NASCAR's back. I'm excited for Auto Club this weekend. Hopefully the weather gets better because it doesn't look great. So that's always fun. But we might have 2 races on Saturday instead of a race, or Sunday instead of 1 race Saturday, 1 race Sunday. So anyway, that's later in the week. Who cares? It is technically like a Thursday. It's crazy, jumping back. But hope everyone had a fantastic All-Star break. Super Bowl went really well for me. We had a ton of success, but betting college basketball. Will was involved with me, and Noto and Will had a great time in Nashville betting college basketball. I hit 2 large parlays with NBA and the Super Bowl, so that was nice. And before I left Nashville Monday morning, I guess I bet Ricky Stenhouse Jr. to win the race, and he won the race at 33-1. So, I mean, it was a good little Nashville week, but we got some hoops. We got a lot of new pieces and places, and I mean, a lot to get through. So we're going to jump in again. Hope everyone had a fantastic All-Star break. Thanks for hanging out. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. We're getting there. We're getting there. I said I wanted to get to 500 before the end of basketball season. We're getting there. So appreciate everyone that hits the subscribe button. Denver at Cleveland is where we go first. 222.5 total in this one. Cleveland, a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, Rubio's out for Cleveland, and then Aaron Gordon is out, and Jamal Murray is questionable. So right off the bat, first game of the night, questionable. Few days off, doesn't matter, still questionable. We'll go Denver here first. We already know Gordon's out. Jamal Murray definitely matters, especially in a tough matchup against Cleveland. What are your thoughts here on the Nuggets?
I don't know if I really want to play anyone from the Nuggets, probably besides Jokic, or I'm saying that maybe him or Bruce Brown, but I'm not going to be that intrigued. I mean, everybody's, in my opinion, priced up. And, I mean, we know Jokic can pretty much go toe-to-toe with anyone. I don't hate Jokic on the slate for what it's worth, but all in all, I'm not going to have too much Denver exposure in a really, I don't want to say brutal, but slower-paced matchup with Cleveland.
I mean, it is kind of a brutal matchup. They're first in defensive rating. So, I mean, it is – I mean, we've been talking about this all season. I feel like it is a, it's a really tough matchup for anybody. I mean, you're just such a great overall basketball team. And like you mentioned, the pace not going to be great. I mean, Cleveland, number one defensive rating, 30th in pace. So tough matchup. Anytime you face Cleveland, tough matchup. If Murray is out, Jokic's usage is going to be bonkers in this game. So if Murray sits, I have a ton of interest in Jokic, even in a tough matchup. I also think this is a spot. Make Michael Porter Jr. at 6K. No Aaron Gordon, no Murray would be a fantastic play. I don't know if I get anywhere else after that. I mean, maybe large field tournaments. Maybe Reggie Jackson, just if Jamal Murray sits. They move Bones Highland, and if Murray sits, I would assume Reggie Jackson gets 30 minutes. At 4,600, so a chance to potentially prove himself. I mean, Bruce Brown's there at 5K as well, but I would assume Jackson gets around that like 30-minute mark if Jamal Murray sits. If Jamal Murray plays, I don't have a ton of interest in Denver. I mean, you could take shots on Jokic for sure. Still don't think Michael Porter Jr. is a terrible play, but yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Tough matchup, slow-paced game. On the Cleveland side of things, I mean, it's not like the Denver matchup is much better, right? Denver is a solid team that doesn't play extremely fast as well. So it's not like this matchup's much better. And Garland was having a time there right before the All-Star break with Mitchell is out. So Garland's at a season high. No, he was at 88, I think, or almost 9K. But really high price tag of an 8,400 here against Denver. If Murray is out, maybe you could go to Mitchell or Garland if you're playing Jokic, but it's a tough ask. It's a tough ask.
Yeah, I'm not playing anyone from Cleveland either. Tough spot. And once again, Stevie, God, I feel like I mention this every pod. I'm not trying to be a broken record, but the scoring, like I know Donovan Mitchell picked up a little bit right before the break, but this team, like everybody can score 20 points. So all the main guys, Garland, Mitchell, Allen, Mobley, I mean, I'm not thrilled about the pricing with this team, the matchup. Like, it's a full-on fade for me.
We should note really quick that Kevin Love cleared waivers for Cleveland during the All-Star break. And, I mean, that's kind of sad.
He was working out for some teams. I think he was possibly going to Miami.
It sounds like Miami. Everything I've read sounds like. I don't know if it's a done deal or not yet. I haven't, I haven't checked in the last 3 days to anything. But it just cements Mobley and Allen a little bit more, more than anything else. So I don't know if this is necessarily the spot, but it also, like, could lead to Jetty Osman playing a little bit more or Dean Wade. It's tough to say. Agreed to a deal with the Heat on Monday. Kevin Love. There you go. So he is minimum salary right now with Cleveland on Cleveland. So if they switch him over to Miami and he's minimum salary, definitely interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we move on. We got Detroit going to Orlando, facing my Magic. 226.5 total in this game. Magic, a 6.5-point favorite for Detroit, against Detroit. Orlando, no one on the injury report here. They did release RJ Hampton. Don't think that matters too much. Maybe potentially helps a crowded guard, but it's still very crowded. On the Detroit side, Bagley is doubtful. Cunningham, Noel out. So we'll go Detroit first. What are your thoughts here on the Pistons?
Yeah, I mean, interesting spot. Jaden Ivey is 5,500, and if he's getting anywhere, if he's going to sniff close to 30 minutes, I don't hate it. Alec Burks, his price is pretty cheap for this spot as well. His minutes are, you know, mid to low 20s. Jalen Duren, 5,200. Like, these guys, they just continue to be fairly cheap because they spread the minutes out. I'm not afraid of Ivy. I'm not afraid of Duren. I'm not afraid of a dart throw at a guy like Alec Burks. But all in all, I'm not playing too many guys from Detroit outside of that handful.
I mean, I think it's worth noting now that, like, we're past the All-Star break, and we are not, like, technically there, but we're getting closer to the end of the season, that Detroit's trying to lose every single game. They're in that, like, lottery race.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spurs, the Rockets, and the Pistons are trying to lose every single game. Your Hornets, too. I mean,
how about the Hornets? I mean, we're in the sweepstakes.
Yeah, I mean, there's four teams. It's really those four teams. So we should note that if, like, most teams that are, you know, fighting for playoff spots, if someone gets hot on the court, they might let him play. Someone gets hot for Detroit, hey, come take a breather. I mean, so it's just something to note that we are at that point of the season where Detroit wants to lose. I mean, it's as simple as that. Can they keep games competitive? Sure. I mean, they have a good job. They've done a good job this year of keeping games competitive. But as we get closer to the end of the season, we're going to see a lot more minutes spread out for Detroit. If I'm playing anybody, it's probably Duren, but I don't know if I even necessarily get to him today. Orlando struggles against the three, so, like, Bogdanovich could have a good three-point shooting night, so maybe I look for him in, like, three-point props more than play him on the DFS side of things. On Orlando, fully healthy. I mean, now, like, now Okiki's back as well.
And Jonathan, you know, Isaac.
Yeah, like, Isaac was, like, playing some minutes right before the All-Star break. I don't see a reason for Orlando to really push him. Could they fight for a playoff spot? Yeah, they're technically still in it. Not likely. I don't love Orlando in this spot. I mean, I love the matchup against Detroit. It's just they're so deep that, I mean, I guess Franz Wagner at 5,900 is a good price tag. Against Detroit. What are your thoughts on the Magic?
Yeah, I think you said it, Stevie. This is a deep team. Even at 5,900, I'm not thrilled about Franz just because Fultz is going to play, Cole Anthony is going to play, Jalen Suggs is going to play, Franz is going to play, Gary Harris is going to play. This whole team, see, like, they're kind of like Detroit. At one point, the younger guys were playing big minutes like Paolo and Franz, and they may still get, you know, low 30s minutes. But I'm not thrilled about anyone, and I feel like I should be because of the game environment. But this is just – it's just going to be so many bodies playing. Wendell Carter Jr. is 5,800. Like, I want to maybe play him, but I think I have to play him just stay on brand against Detroit. But outside of that, I'm just, man, it's going to be so many bodies in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you really love matchups against Detroit Pistons. I mean, yes, they're not a good defensive team. They're a team that allows a ton of fantasy points. So, like, that aspect of things, like, yeah, I mean, I love this spot for Orlando. It's just Orlando's very deep. I mean, Detroit allows, I think, the second or third most fantasy points per game to opposing shooting guards. But, I mean, how do you trust Fultz, Anthony, or Suggs? I mean, guards are splitting minutes, and no one's really playing like 35 minutes a night outside of Fultz. So, if I had to lead into anybody, it's like I said, Franz Wagner or Fultz. And Paolo is just a beast, but now he's 7,900. So, I mean, the price tag's caught up a little bit, and I'm going to need his price to come down a little bit. He's definitely someone I would look at maybe on the prop side of things. Boston at Indiana taking on the Pacers, 233.5 to 234.5, depending on the book you're looking at. Celtics, an 8 to an 8.5 point favorite in this one. On the Indiana side of things, no one on the injury report. Gallinari, the only person on the injury report for Boston. So two pretty healthy teams here. Indiana Pacers are at that point where they need to start winning a lot. They're 2-8. Losing a lot. Yeah, I mean, technically, but they're already at 26 wins. You're over 20 wins. I mean, you're not. Now you got to go for wins. You can't. You've won too many games to start throwing games. So, I mean, they're 2-8 in their last 10 games. This is definitely a spot they need to get rolling. Boston leads the East right now. Let's talk Celtics first. Brown, Smart, everyone off the injury report here coming into this game against the Pacers. I mean, that's really good news for Boston. But is that good news for fantasy? I mean, Tatum's 11K, fantastic matchup against the Pacers. Brown's 9,200. White is priced up because Smart has been out. Robert Williams, 6,200. I think that's a super fair price tag for someone who kind of had his minutes, you know, given back to him towards the end of, I mean, that,
yeah,
you know,
that's what it was. That's what it was.
You don't look at that Milwaukee game. The Milwaukee game was a game I'm not looking at for Boston. So, I mean, Robert Williams, I think at 6,200 might be my favorite here, but very crowded, deep Boston team, even in a good matchup here against Pacers.
Yeah. They are on the road, which does have me slightly intrigued. On the road right after the All-Star break, I feel like Indiana should come out and be ready to play. You get what I'm saying? Like, bodies should be fresh. Like, they've probably been...
Tatum went bonkers in the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 55, I think it was, right?
Yeah. Dave just said it on YouTube, too. Yeah, he went bonkers in the All-Star game.
Yeah, so... if that's the case, if this game stays competitive, who are going to be the odd men out? Well, it's going to be White and probably the centers. And Tatum and Brown should be carrying the load. I still trust Tatum 20 times more than I trust Brown on a slate-to-slate basis, even at the price tag. I think maybe you take a shot on Tatum because of the spot. But I'm not thrilled about all these other pieces from Boston. Somebody else is probably going to get there. I can't tell you who that is, but I do feel most confident in a Tatum upside game against Indiana.
Yeah, the price tag is a little up there. We do have, like, we talked about Jokic. We have Lillard against Sacramento that we're going to talk about. We got Luka against San Antonio, Embiid against Memphis. So, I mean, Tatum's up in that, like, top tier price range. So, I mean, we're going to get into that, like, Thunder Jazz game, too, with SGA at 10-5. And I don't know if I play Tatum over SGA today. So, I mean, that's my initial thoughts. Like, my initial thoughts are Tatum has a good game here. He's 11K. I don't know if I go to Jaylen Brown at 9,200. Fantastic matchup. But with everyone healthy, I don't know if I go there. It goes back to the conversation, right? It goes back to... hey, man, Robert Williams is really fairly priced and should play 30 minutes against the Pacers tonight. So, I mean, that's, again, why I'm leaning more towards Williams. Man, this should be a good game. I think this game is going to be competitive. I think with Halliburton and the Pacers getting healthy, I think they're going to be a team that kind of watch over the next couple weeks. Pacers side of this game, Well, the only way that I see the Patriots staying close in this game is if Halliburton has a big game. He went for 50 fantasy points against his team earlier this year. What are your thoughts here on the Pacers?
They're at home. They're coming off the All-Star break. Should be well-rested. Looks like, you know, pretty much everybody's healthy. I'm with you. If this team is going to win, it's definitely going to be on the shoulders of Mr. Halliburton. Mathurin, are they going to – I wish they would just give him 30 minutes and stop playing this game. They keep giving him up and down minutes, Stevie. One minute he's at 30, the next minute he's low 20s. I wish they would just have some consistency with him. But that's why he in tournaments at 5,100, I don't hate it. I don't think I really want to play anyone else. Like, that's about it for me.
Yeah, I mean, Halliburton. And then, like, if Buddy Hield, he's always someone that's in the conversation for me just because he's someone that can make 6 to 8 threes in a game. And those are the types of games he puts up. But, like, even Buddy Hield against Chicago right before the All-Star break, he made 6 threes, scored 27 actual points, had 35 fantasy points. Yeah, I mean, 35 fantasy points on a 9-game slate with everybody on fresh legs, probably not going to be enough. We move on, we got New Orleans going into Toronto, 225.5 total. The Raptors, a 5.5 point favorite at home. On the Pelican side of things, Larry Nance is probable, Zion's still out. On the Toronto side, OG is questionable, Porter Jr. remains out. So we'll go New Orleans first. New Orleans, a dog, big dog on the road here in Toronto. What are your thoughts on the Pelicans?
Well, CJ's 8,200, and he's going to have some games, Steve, but I don't think that's worth it. JV 6,100, I mean, that feels a little high to me considering his role with the team. Especially with Brandon Ingram completely back in the fold and taking 20 shots and, you know, playing mid-30s minutes. I don't really like this team today. I think they're a little bit too expensive for my liking overall.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I think this is a really competitive game. And I really like the Toronto side of this game. Yeah. Like on a betting aspect of things. I think Ingram has a really good game in this game. So I think he's someone. I think CJ McCollum, he was dealing with that, like, was it wrist injury? And, like, just shooting not great coming down the stretch to the All-Star break. So maybe a week off for CJ McCollum is super good. So maybe he bounces back with a good shooting night in this game. And then Valanciunas is always all about the minutes. Their bench guys, Trey Murphy would be the guy that I think I'd take the most exposure if I was going to take a shot here. I think New Orleans keeps this game competitive. And I like New Orleans plus, you can get it +6 right now on Caesars. So Toronto side, you know, obviously we'll wait and see on the OG news. I mean, that could potentially mean a little bit more shot attempts for like a Gary Trent type of player. But I mean, you know where you're getting the production here. You're getting the production from Siakam, Barnes, and Van Vliet. What are your thoughts on Toronto?
So Toronto's kind of this interesting boat where the minutes are stable, but man, Van Vliet's 9,700, Stevie. And I know he can go for 50, but I think in a general sense, I don't think he's going for 50 in this spot. This should be, you know, the Pelicans are going to play some defense. Like, they're not the worst team in the league. So I think they're all overpriced. Like, Scottie Barnes is 8,500. I think that's too expensive. Even if, for whatever reason, you know, OG did not play, I still think Scottie's too expensive. It's just the pricing, Stevie. I feel like the price is bad overall so far with a lot of the games we've got to. We've got a game coming up that I really like, but I think overall the pricing is bad in this game. I think that everybody's overpriced, possibly because of the competitive nature of the game, and perhaps none of them get there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking some shots on Ingram, I don't mind running it back with like someone like Siakam. I mean, he's capable of 60-plus fantasy point games. I think Van Vliet at 9,700 might just be too expensive right now. I know he was someone that was crushing a little bit here recently, but I don't think the $9,700 price tag is justified for him. And Scottie Barnes, 8,500. Like, if I'm going to pay these prices, I'm just going to get Siakam. I'm going to get the usage, and I'm going to get the shot attempts. So that's kind of where I'm leaning when it comes to this team. I mean, maybe you take a shot on Poeltl. He did play a bunch of minutes right before the All-Star break with this team, and he's 5,900. So definitely not taking shots on Precious now with Poeltl in the mix. I know that Precious played some minutes the other night. This team loves to play big, but I mean, Poeltl at 5,900, worth looking at on his new team here. Cruising along, we got Memphis at Philadelphia, 229.5 total in this game. 76ers, a 4.5-point favorite. Looking at the injury report for this one. Memphis side, Steven Adams is out. Luke Kennard is out. Philadelphia, good to go. No one on the injury report for Philly night before. We'll go Memphis first. We know that Adams isn't going to play. We know this is a really tough matchup against Embiid, but Brandon Clark, 4,500. I think they're going to need him or Tillman in this game. I think Triple J, if they start sticking him out there, this might be like a foul trouble game for him. What are your thoughts on Memphis?
I don't mind Ja. At 10-8, competitive game. You know, a guy that's going to be rolling. Devin Bane is 8,100. Stevie, once again, I think I talked about this, the fact that he's a guy that's been in the 40s, but at 8,100, I need him back down to 7,100, Stevie. You see these prices prior to the break? Like, that's what I need to get involved with Desmond Bane at those prices. So I'm going to be taking the fade on him. Dylan Brooks at 4,200, Stevie, but guess what? He's doing absolutely nothing. I feel like we should be playing because, man, shouldn't it click at some point? But it's not clicking. And I think he's a guy we can just, you know, pass on. I do like Brandon Clark in this game. Philly will have Embiid, Tobias Harris, a couple big guys here and there. I don't hate Brandon Clark at 4,500 getting 20 to 25 minutes in this spot. But mainly it's just Ja for me for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I mean, Desmond Bane, 8,100. Like this,
and I want to play Bane, but I just can't.
He has been a little bit more active rebound wise with Adams out, which is nice. But still, like 8,100 for Desmond Bane, it's just a lot. Like you said, if he's 71 here, we're talking about him. We're looking at him. But I mean, I need that like $1,000 discount on the Philadelphia side. I mean, Embiid is 11-1, but when we're looking at like studs on this slate, he's easily in the conversation for guys that can go for 70 plus fantasy points and keep up with Luka. So what are your thoughts on Philadelphia?
I mean, I just, Stevie, I don't mind playing Embiid every slate. He's not going to have anybody to stop him here. They're at home. Harden at 9,900. I just haven't been playing Harden this season. Unless Embiid is out. He had a nice little stretcher before the All-Star break. But I just don't think Harden's a 50 fantasy point scorer long-term this season. He's going to have some moments. But generally, I think if I take the fade, I'm going to be fine. I wish Tyrese Maxey was getting 35 minutes. I don't know what's up here, but at 5,300, I don't mind taking some shots in this spot. Same thing I view for Tobias Harris. Stevie, Tobias Harris, down to 4,900. We can probably put him in the same category as Dylan Brooks. I still feel a little bit better about Tobias. I think I'll just keep him in my pool for mass multi-entry. But all in all, once again, it's the stars of this game. It's Joel Embiid. From Philly at 11-1, a little bit cheaper than some of our what I would consider to be our top stars like Jokic, like Luka. I like him beat at 11-1 here today without Steven Adams in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to stop him? I mean, you look at who he's going to be facing here, and it's like James Harden. I like Harden's assist prop in this game. I don't know what it's going to come out at, but if it comes out at like 9.5, sign me up. I'm in. I'm looking really quick to see if it's up. They had a lot of stuff up. They have some disc golf up. I can't wait to dig into that after the show.
Yes.
Harden's at 11 assists. That's probably right where it should be. I don't love it as much. I wanted it to be like 9.5. Ooh, disc golf. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. It's snowing in Vegas. Oh, can't wait to go dig into some disc golf, Will. All right, moving on. San Antonio at... All right, piqued my interest. I'm like, all right. I knew it was up. I just hadn't had a chance to look at it yet. But, man, I'm pumped now. Can't wait. Season starts tomorrow, today, if you're listening on Thursday. San Antonio at Dallas, 234.5 total. The Mavericks, a 13.5-point favorite in this one. I mean, on the Dallas side, Bertans and Keebler out. And then on the Spurs, Sohan is questionable. Trey Jones is doubtful. Birch is out. Vassell is out. They don't want to win. I mean, it's as simple as that.
They do not.
No, I mean, it's as simple as that. Let's talk San Antonio here. I mean, Zach Collins is fit. He is like, there's so many guys that are overpriced today. Zach Collins is way underpriced today. As simple as that. Like, this is a guy that with Poeltl gone is going to play 30 plus minutes a night, and he is way too cheap at 5,600.
Yeah, I don't hate Collins like you talked about. I mean, 30 plus minutes is going to be good for him. Dallas that have a true center-ish person that's going to slow him down. I mean, I know Christian Wood's kind of hanging out, but I'm not afraid of Christian Wood defensively at all. But, Steve, the Spurs, man.
I know.
My God.
Listen, I don't want to play anybody from San Antonio either, but Zach Collins is too cheap.
No, I get it. The thing, too, Devontae Graham's playing some minutes. Branham's playing some minutes. As long as Vassell's out, those guys are probably okay in that 4K range. So I don't hate that. If Jeremy's out, Kim might actually be in play. The problem is Dallas should essentially be a much better team than the Spurs. But I don't think I'm going to play any Spurs. But, man, I get it if you do. Like, too many, they've got guys out in the wrong spots. Like, if Jeremy's out, That should just secure Keldon's usage in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, we have done really well in talking about the Spurs and just saying, hey, you don't have to play anybody from San Antonio right now. But again, I think Collins is just too cheap. If Trey Jones doesn't play, Devontae Graham is not the worst tournament play at 4,400 either.
Yeah.
So Dallas side, I mean, Luka is really good at basketball, but we are seeing a different Luka, right? Like, I mean, it's definitely worth noting, right? So yeah. I meant to pull this up. I looked at it earlier, but putting Kyrie and Luka on the floor together, it hasn't happened a lot. It's barely happened at all, but I mean, we have to look at something, right? So they've played 57.8 minutes together, and Luka's averaging 1.44 fantasy points per minute. So, I mean, still a really solid fantasy point per minute, like, number. Kyrie averaging 1.38, really fantasy, really interesting. A little bit lower than what he was averaging on the what he's averaging on the season, but I mean, really, like looking at these two guys on the floor together, Tim Hardaway, it looks like he's had a few like extra assist opportunities and rebound opportunities.
As he should.
Right. Yeah. But everyone else is seeming like when they're playing together, it seems like Christian Wood has just been his usage has gone 9% down with both of these guys on the floor together. So it's tough for me to play him. It's tough for me to play Kyrie at 10-3. Honestly, it's not the easiest to play Luka at 11-9. I don't think this game stays close. San Antonio is actively trying to lose games. Tim Hardaway at 5,700. Maybe I take some shots there, but on a 9-game slate, we have some value and some really good plays. I just don't know if I play a lot from Dallas here today.
Oh no, not at all. So let me say this, Stevie. In deep tournaments where you're running 150, you can probably get some exposure to Luka. You could probably get some exposure to Kyrie, but I wouldn't over. Like I definitely double down on Tatum or Embiid today.
Yeah.
Before I play Kyrie or Luka, which I know that sounds crazy because Boston has enough, but they do it in a different way. You know, it's a different style. So I'm not thrilled about Kyrie and Luka in a game where it should be a blowout. So I'm probably going to pass, but I get it if you decide you want to plug them in.
Listen, we're going to get into a game, and it's next, and by far my favorite game on the slate. It's the Thunder and the Jazz, 239.5 total. The Jazz, a 2-point favorite in this game. As far as the injury report goes, Colin Sexton's not playing for Utah. Poco and Holmgreen out for the Thunder. So, yeah, I mean, going to the Thunder first here, I love SGA. I'm planting a flag. I love this spot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like, Utah is not a good defensive team. Oklahoma City is going to push the pace as much as possible. This is a guy that's going to score over 30 points tonight, actual points. And it just really comes down to what else does he do with the game to make him fantasy relevant. But I was looking at prop sites and stuff. He's already like they have him propped at like 31.5, and I don't think that's crazy. Should.
Yeah,
I don't think that's crazy. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on the Thunder here, Will?
Yeah, I don't hate SGA for sure. I do think Giddey might be overpriced at 83. 83
is a lot. Yeah,
like he could get there, but I think SGA would have to be out. Like I don't think he gets close enough with SGA in, so I don't like that price. Now the price I do like here, Stevie, we got Lou Dort at 4,400, and I know like kind of right before the break he was hurt, so he only played a couple games, like right before the break, like three games. I think he might be going back to 30 minutes here, Stevie, after this break. So at 4,400, he's probably the best value play on this team. I just don't see how they don't open him back up now that he's had three tune-up games and a week to really get rolling. So I really like him in this spot. He's probably my favorite play along with SGA. Jalen Williams, because of his production, he's ticked back up. But his minutes may come down a touch with Dort. I'm not sure. So I'm willing to leave him out today just to take a wait-and-see approach. Dort, SGA, though, this feels like a great spot for both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't have much to add. I love the Dort call. I think that's a fantastic call. I do agree with you. They eased him back a little bit right before the break. No reason not to run him back out. minutes wise here. The Thunder are in it. Like the Thunder are in it. They're in the mix, right? Like as crazy as it sounds, as good as the West is, I mean, it's 15 teams in the West and the playoffs hunt is like 13 deep right now. So yeah, I mean that last few spots in the playoffs for the West, good luck, man. I mean, the Nuggets are kind of cruising. I think Memphis is a team that gets in. They're a really good team. But I think anything else is up for grabs. But I think the Suns and the Warriors will be fine. The Warriors can stay healthy. If they just make the playoffs, they're fine if they get everybody back. But anyway, I mean, I love SGA and Dort and then just saying, all right, I'm running it back with Markkanen. Markkanen 9,400. He's going to smash in this game. There's no one that can play with him on the other side of this game. He's going to smash. Clarkson has just kind of accepted this role of 20, 25 points a night, go out, kind of do my thing. And I mean, DFS wise, it's not great. So
yeah,
I love this spot for Markkanen. Run it back with SGA and Dort.
Yeah, so my conundrum with Utah is, are they going to keep Walker Kessler at the 30-minute range now that Olynyk is pretty much back? Like, do they still keep him at – because they could. I'm not saying they won't. Because they both played 30 minutes, I think, the last game or recently or something like that.
But that was against Memphis, though. Memphis plays a little big.
I know. So it's like, well, do they keep his minutes up? Because Olynyk's minutes are here to stay. His aren't going anywhere, I don't think. I think you can take some shots on Kessler and Olynyk, but I wouldn't play them together. I definitely split the two, put them in a in lineup HQ, put them in a build or in a group, and just hey, one or the other, not both. I think that's how I would approach it with Kessler and Olynyk. I agree with you on Markkanen. Man, Lauri Markkanen, we've been paying $9K for this guy now a good part of the year, and he's been coming through for us a lot. Now he's going to have some mid 30s games, but in a spot like this against OKC, I definitely like it. And then the other thing, too, with Colin Sexton out, I'm inclined to take one shot on Jordan Clarkson against OKC. Like, Clarkson out, $7,500. Do I think it's a little bit expensive? Probably. I still don't hate it. With Clarkson out, Mike Conley gone, we already know Russ is going to the Clippers. I think Clarkson can get it done in this spot. But that's the only reason I'd be playing them.
All right. Just really quick, they did start Olynyk and Kessler together the other night against Memphis. And the other night, I mean like a week ago. But they did start them. They did start them together. They started Olynyk at the four. And he had a huge first quarter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see them playing together. It's definitely going to kind of open them both up. I don't hate it.
Well, it's good for Kelly anyway, because he's a natural four. He's not a five.
What? Yeah. I mean, my only problem is, wasn't Markkanen out for? He missed that game, right? Against Memphis, he missed that game with like a knee or something. So, so I don't know how much I want to believe the minutes for Ochai. Right? Ochai Abai, Jabai or whatever. So I don't know how much I want to believe his minutes because he played a bunch of minutes the other night with Markkanen out. So I kind of want to watch this situation because we're getting into that point of the season where like guys are going to come out of nowhere and start playing 25 plus minutes a night, especially for a team like Utah where they're in it too, but are they? You know? So.
Do they want to be in it?
Do they? I mean, they have too many wins not to be. They have 29 wins. Yeah. I mean, you're over the 20-minute mark. You got to keep winning now. Golden State. I probably butchered that man's name. I need to look it up. I'm sorry. You're a friend of the podcast now, but I definitely messed your name up.
Friend of the podcast.
Listen, he can come on anytime he wants and yell at me. That's fine. I give him full permission. Anytime we record 10 o'clock Sunday through Thursday night, just come hang out. Friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Listen, all the baseball players that I mess up their names to. Listen, I've been trying to do a little bit better job of like researching names and listening to how they're pronounced before. But when I mess up a name, you're more than welcome to come on, yell at me, then tell me who your favorite plays are for the night. Warriors at Lakers, 238.5 total in this one. I mean, Curry's still out, Peyton's out, Wiggins is out. We don't expect Peyton to play much, right? I was surprised that trade went through. We chatted about it a little bit before the Super Bowl and stuff, but that trade went through. The Lakers side, everyone's probable. Lakers pretty healthy here. We're going to see a push for the Lakers here. We're going to see the Lakers try to play really good over the next month. Golden State, I mean, Clay is 88 and Jordan Poole is 91. These price tags, like, again, we keep going back to that conversation of like guys are just really priced up. I'm struggling with Golden State. I think that like even Draymond at 7,400 is a tough price tag. Like, what are your thoughts on the Warriors here?
DraftKings has really went super dynamic today. Like you talked about, Jordan Poole, Clay, Draymond, they're all probably a little bit too expensive for this spot. What if I told you I almost feel better about playing Kevon Looney here at 4,400? Like that, I feel much better about playing him in a spot where we know that they're going to need him for some size. We saw his last couple games, he's playing. Played over 30 minutes. I don't hate Looney here. As crazy as that sounds, Wiggins is out. So, I mean, the prices are probably fair. Maybe we get a little bit of Kuminga, you know, playing some ball. I think I feel okay with DiVincenzo. But, you know, I like Jordan Poole. But how often is Jordan Poole going to go, I mean, super ceiling? Now, the last time he did, he should be fine. But I just, God, it's so expensive. When I think, for instance, I'd rather just play SGA over him. And just I just pay up and play SGA. Or I'd, in fact, probably pay down and play Clarkson today. He's just at an odd price range for me.
My question to you, because, like, I was thinking about this when I was looking at Slate. Do we think DiVincenzo starts at the three with no Wiggins? Like, we assume that Poole starts at the one and Clay starts at the two. Like, DiVincenzo start at the three?
If he doesn't start, I still think he plays 30 minutes.
Well, the second part of that question is, if we think DiVincenzo starts at the three, who the heck is going to guard LeBron James today?
Draymond.
Like, okay, so like if they put Clay at the three, Clay's not guarding LeBron. Draymond is gonna need to guard Hachimura, no? Like, this is, I don't know. Or Vanderbilt.
They actually might put Clay on LeBron, the more I think about it.
LeBron is gonna go nuclear in this game if he is guarded by Clay Thompson or DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
Cause like you can't put DiVincenzo or Clay on Vanderbilt, right? And like put Draymond on LeBron.
Yeah.
Looney has to play against Anthony Davis.
Looney's for sure gonna be on AD. Like that we right. know. You know what? It's probably not, the more I think of it, probably is Draymond. Think about the finals when he played in Cleveland. I think they're going to put Draymond on him. I know it's like 4 or 5 years ago. I think Draymond's on him. I think that's what they're going to do.
Then I like Vanderbilt for tournaments. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself with the Lakers, but I mean, we kind of give our thoughts on the Warriors. I mean, if we think Draymond's going to play against LeBron and Looney and Anthony Davis, like, Clay is not going to be able to shut down Vanderbilt. And like, it's a new team for Vanderbilt, but now like we're a week of like practices, like not a full week, but we are a good 4 or 5 days too. I mean, maybe Vanderbilt, like, I don't know.
I don't hate it.
Him and Malik Beasley, like Malik Beasley's kind of at 4.1 is really interesting as well. Yeah, in the Lakers.
Yeah, if Malik Beasley gets 30 minutes in this offense, his scoring should pick up. Because that's what they were looking for. They were looking for outside spot-up shooting with guys that didn't need basketball in their hands. Well, he's the perfect fit for this team.
Yeah.
So yeah. His scoring should pick up. And by pick up, I'm saying, I mean, he should be good for 15 to 18 points a game, I think, after practices, and now he's there fully integrated. I don't hate that call. 4,100. I like it.
I know they said they wanted Schroeder to keep starting. I just don't see that being the case. You need Schroeder to lead your second unit. You need a guy like Beasley with LeBron out there, and Beasley's going to get some open threes.
Right. That's how they want to play.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they want to play. I think if you see the starting lineup come out with Beasley instead of Schroeder, you take some shots on Beasley at 4-1, because I think he plays 26 to 30 minutes.
For sure.
And playing in an offense with LeBron and Anthony Davis, like, he's going to get some open looks. So, and I'm not saying don't take shots on Anthony Davis or LeBron here. I think they're both phenomenal plays. I just think that I really think that we're going to be looking more towards like Vanderbilt and Beasley here. They're cheap. We've been struggling at pricing today. You mentioned it just a second ago, like how dynamic this pricing slate is. And it's, I mean, this is the type of slates that I love. I love the tougher pricing slates. So I think guys like Beasley and Vanderbilt are, and Josh just said in chat, they confirmed Beasley and Vanderbilt starting moving forward. So there you go. I mean, yeah, like it makes perfect sense. Like Schroeder and Reeves on your second unit, it just makes perfect sense. So Mo Bamba on that second unit now too, my magic friend here. Give me your final thoughts around the Lakers.
DFS perspective, I like the cheap guys. Full-blown tournament perspective, I think LeBron and AD are priced okay, and they're probably going to eat into each other. But AD should eat here, even at 10-6. I don't hate it. The problem is I think he's priced a little bit too close to Embiid. And that's how I feel about both of them. I think they're priced a little bit too close to Embiid. But I don't hate them.
All right. We finish it up with Portland at Sacramento. A really good game to kind of end the podcast on here. 239.5 total. These West Coast games, like some really good scoring games here to finish out the night. So don't count your money if you're winning the tournament early in this one. If you're winning your props, so you can count it and call it a night. Go to sleep. Kings 5.5-point favorites in this one. On the Portland side, Nurkic is out. Simons is out. And Winslow is out. Sacramento Kings, good to go. Some huge notes there, right? Simons being out and Nurkic being out is huge. It's huge for Grant. It's huge for Eubanks, but it's especially huge for Lillard. You know, we've talked about a lot of studs on this slate. Matchup against the Kings, where, I mean, the pace should be super solid in this one. The Kings are 22nd in defensive rating. They're not a good defensive team. So, I mean, we should see Sacramento at home try to push the pace of this one. So maybe Lillard at 11-4, but I mean, Grant 6-9, super solid, nice. Eubanks, Cam Reddish maybe at 36, potentially playing a few extra minutes here. We saw him play 33 minutes the other night with Simons out. So, I mean, Portland, really nice way to end the night.
Look, let me just say how much or how excited I am to have a healthy, fully functional Damian Lillard in the NBA. Because what we saw last season, Stevie, was not the real Damian. I mean, he had to be hurt. Like, he just couldn't put it together. what we're seeing this season, man, just masterful performances day in and day out. And we got Dame at 11-4, and I'm willing to pay that on this slate against Sacramento with no sign. I'm willing to pay this because, Stevie, he's one of the few guards that can score 40 real points and get us there. So I like Dame at 11-4. It's going to feel very expensive. But in this spot, I like it a ton. We already talked about no Simons. We know that Josh Hart's already gone. I think I talked about this too, maybe last week some. Cam Reddish, Stevie, look out. 30-plus minutes right before the break. I love it. They've also got Matisse Thybulle, Stevie. He's playing minutes, and he played 30 minutes. Now, we saw the same old Matisse Thybulle, but this is a matchup with Sacramento. I know it's Washington. I'm willing to take shots if 3K guys are going to get 30-plus minutes. So it's not that I'm going to be locking them in, but I do think we get some exposure here. Now, we know Grant will be back. If you ask me straight up, I think Cam Reddish is the better 3K play, obviously. And then we've got Eubanks at 4,600. If he can get close to 30 minutes, I'm in. But I think it's Dame and taking these cheap pieces and building from there. Like Grant, don't get me wrong, but I think it's Dame the cheap guys.
Yeah, I mean, Thybulle at 35 could potentially start too. So definitely
which,
paying
which
attention.
He should, because before the break, they were playing big minutes. Yeah.
Simons being out is huge for Portland. Sacramento, I mean, Sabonis 10-1. No Nurkic. Yeah, maybe. We're looking at Sabonis. Fox, 98. Super competitive game. Then we get some value here with maybe like a Kevin Huerter type of play. I mean, this is a good game. A lot of pieces in this game that make a lot of sense. What are your thoughts on the Kings?
Yeah, I love the Huerter call. He's going to play 30-plus minutes. So at the mid-5Ks, he's a guy that can get you 30-plus fantasy points with upside for high 30s. So I like that. To me, Harrison Barnes is in the same boat. Now, his production has really had a tick down, but he does have 30-point upside. At 5K, I don't mind taking shots. Keegan Murray, his price is coming down now because his production had kind of ticked back down, but I don't hate him as well at 4,700 in this spot either. So all in all, this is a really good game, Stevie, because I think we have some upper-tier players or higher price players like Dame, like Fox, like Sabonis, but then each team has cheaper guys that we can kind of tier this game up with. So I love this spot overall. Once again, those cheap guys, Murray, Barnes, Huerter, I think you can get them all in your lineups.
All right, we're going to finish up with the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for hanging out over there on YouTube chat. Again, hope everyone had a fantastic All-Star break. Favorite play under 5,000 to go 7X. Who do you got today?
Well, this is a slightly tough, but I'm going with my boy Lu Dort against Utah.
Oh, you took my guy. I like that call a lot, by the way. I like that call a lot. I had another one. Oh, Malik Beasley, the Lakers. Yes. I like him. I think he's really going to need to do it on the points side of things, but I do think like this is a guy that's going to put up 8-ish three-pointers most nights now if he's going to be starting. And they're going to be some quality looks. Like when you have LeBron and Anthony Davis on the floor with you, yeah, his usage might go down, but his shot attempts, the looks are going to be way better for him.
Yeah.
Over 8K to go under 5X. Who is your bust today?
I think we've got a fair amount of candidates here, Stevie. I think if I had to side with one guy, you know, and I talked about it, I don't like these prices on these Toronto guys. Give me Fred VanVleet at 9,700.
Yeah, I don't hate that call at all. Yeah, his price is just up there. Yeah. I am going to be way overweight on SGA today, so give me Josh Giddey at 8,300 as my bust today.
I like it.
Favorite 6X play. Who do you got?
There are a lot of options on this with Stevie.
Just a few.
I'm going with someone in this. Let's call it the slight mid tier. I think he has a good game, even though they've got a fair amount of bodies. I just can't pass up Wendell Carter Jr. against Detroit at 5,800. I think it's too cheap. I think he's going off here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to talk you off of that one. I like that a lot. I mean, we talked about this, but 6X for Cam Reddish seems way too achievable today. I mean, this price is just way too cheap. So give me Cam Reddish at 3,600.
Like that
call. I also like Zach Collins. We talked about him a bunch as well. I like Zach Collins as well. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got?
So I'm not sure how weird this is going to be, because I feel like he's going to get some ownership, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I mentioned this before. I think this guy's going to be. Give me Anthony Davis at 10-6. I think he's going to have a big game here against Golden State.
Paying up to be contrarian, I love it. My Let's Get Weird GPP play today is Robert Williams from Boston. 6,200, flies under the radar here, probably doesn't get a ton of ownership in a fantastic matchup against the Pacers. They are one of the worst teams in the league against bigs. They allow the fifth most fantasy points to opposing big men this season. So love this spot for Robert Williams. I think his minutes get up over 30 minutes in this one. So like him a lot today. Any bets or anything standing out to you here night before?
Definitely. I've got one that I love. This is one I've been attacking probably almost all season. Stevie, we got Josh Giddey at 17.5 points. And I love this spot against Utah. Don't get me wrong. But you're telling me Dort's coming back. Jalen Williams has been playing better or playing fantastic. They're pretty much fully healthy. I have to take the under on Josh Giddey at 17.5, even against Utah. That's just – he's not that much of a volume scorer as it is. And now Dort's back to take a few more shots. I like the under here.
I will take the under on that. We'll pair it with Zach Collins over 21.5 points and rebounds and get us a little 2-for-2 action. Also, like the – oh, gosh, I can't think of the name of them. Pelicans. Also like the Pelicans plus 5.5, or you can get it, like I said, you can get it at plus 6 right now on Caesars if you're in a state. If you're in a state with legal betting, there you go. You can take advantage of that. If not, you can head over to Sleeper, get Zach Collins over 21.5 for points and rebounds, and Josh Giddey under 17.5. You can power play it and take advantage of it. Get some money to start the week off here. Maybe end off the week because it is technically Thursday. It's crazy. But Will, that's gonna wrap it up. Hope everyone enjoyed. Again, make sure you hit the subscribe button over there on YouTube. Just do us a little favor, click it, help us out. Hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow talking more hoops. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.